You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome.
Time for the Mini Medium with Stephanie Cowan.
Stephanie Cowan.
Live from tarotwithsteph.net.
Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, facebook.com/psychicradio.
Or one of our websites,
askoneradio.com or moonstruck.tv.
This is the Mini Media
on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
All right, hi guys. Welcome, welcome. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Happy almost Christmas. Oh my gosh, we are literally a week away almost, right? About ish. So I hope you guys are ready. Hope you're ready for the holidays. But I am your mini medium on the A1R Psychic Radio and the beautiful Moonstruck TV. I am so super excited for tonight. So I have a beautiful guest that I can't wait for you to hear her story and introduce you to her here in a moment. Just her story is incredible and touched my heart, and I'm already getting choked up. Just I felt with the holidays and this kind of the warm fuzzies that we get during this time, and especially when we have loved ones in spirit, how hard it can be during these times. So I'm always a sucker for a good, like, Hollywood, like, Christmas, you know, mushy story. So we're gonna get into that and talk to Raquel, who is this beautiful lady to my left.
You're welcome.
We're gonna actually, we were sitting here chatting and I thought, let's pull an affirmation, but I'm going to have her do it here in a moment, because I've thought, if anything, it'll be her beautiful affirmation for the week. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my beautiful friend. I consider you, if you come in and have a reading with me, you are my friend. You are stuck with me. Yeah, sorry, but yep. That might be good, that might not be so good, but I'm so excited. This is Raquel Bott, and beautiful name. Matter of fact, I love
your name.
So do they call you Raquel, or do you like more of like Kel or Beck, or you know how there's always short names, you know?
Yeah. In like the professional world, I go by Raquel. My close friends call me Kel. My mom calls me Brick.
Oh, so you, yeah. So it just depends on who it is.
Yes.
Well, I think I'm a bit of a good friend. So,
yes, of course.
Well, good. Well, so Raquel is here. We're going to have her pull an affirmation, and then we're going to go into her beautiful story. So I'm going to spread these out really quick. Now, for those of you who don't know what an affirmation is really kind of a promise to yourself. So you're affirming whatever this says, you're going to do it, and promise yourself that you will stick to whatever it says. So pull one card. No pressure. Beautiful. Okay. All right. So the beautiful affirmation. Now, this isn't just for beautiful Raquel. This is for everybody else out there as well. So the affirmation says,
Oh my gosh.
I know. Did you just read that? Oh, we're going to all cry. Everybody get your tissue. Life doesn't have to be perfect in order for me to choose happiness. Today, I choose happiness.
Wow.
Okay, what a beautiful segue into your story, right? So,
perfect. Yeah.
So again, life doesn't have to be perfect in order for me to choose happiness. Today, I choose happiness, which I know your story, and I know that obviously, no, I don't think anyone's life is perfect. You've definitely had your own struggles, even as young as you are. So, you know, if anything, that card is, I know from your dad, and I'm sure that everybody listening is going to be like, what is that about? So I'm going to just kind of turn it over to you. And if you want to share with everybody, first how we met, you came and got a reading with me.
So, I did.
How was that? How did you feel about your reading?
Oh my gosh. So I've seen you three times now.
Yeah.
And the first time my mom, she was like, you need to go see Stephanie. And I was like, okay.
Her mom is amazing, by the way.
And she...
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Oh my God, she's amazing. And I was at a point, I just barely got out of treatment. And I was starting to get back into my spirituality. And I was just barely starting to heal from my dad's death.
Yeah.
And I just knew that I needed to come to somebody to try to get in touch with him to see what was next, or not even what was next, just I wanted to hear from him, and I just kind of wanted that comfort. And so I booked our appointment, and I came, and I brought something from my dad, but you didn't know that it was from my dad. And I just barely got my tattoo from him, and he came through, and he said, like, everything that you said about him was exactly the things that he said to me when he was here.
Oh,
and
what was it that dad would say?
He said, that's my little girl. And he said, he said, baby, I'm always here with you.
Oh.
And then he just kind of, when he was here, he was such like dry humor. Like he didn't laugh at his jokes until everyone else started laughing at his jokes.
Yeah.
And so he said like some things that were just really like dry. And then you were just like, he's funny. I'm like,
he's quite a comedian. Yes. He was quite a comedian.
And I was actually 8 weeks pregnant when I came to see you the first time. And and I didn't realize at the time, but I had miscarried. But my body didn't realize. So I had a missed miscarriage. And you were like, honey, have you lost a child? And I was like, no. And that's kind of when I was just like, what? So then a couple weeks later, that's when I found out that I had a missed miscarriage. And that was so hard. And I got through that physically. I had to get surgery and everything. And I came back to you a few months later and told you about the miscarriage. And you said, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And then you said, but there's going to be another baby. And
I think I remember you going, maybe way down the road, many years down the road.
You said, I can't tell. And you said, it's either going to be in 4 months or 4 years.
Oh, okay. So you were maybe thinking 4 years.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I was 21 at the time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 4 years. Yeah.
And
perfect.
So 4 months later, that's when I found out about AC, my baby.
Yeah. Wow.
And just like, and then we also talked about my baby's birth dad too, and about how we can go one of two ways.
Yeah.
And you said it's all up to you though.
Right. Always free will.
Yes.
Always free
and will. It ended up going exactly the way that one of the ways, like he ended. So I met him through treatment.
Oh, that's right. I do remember this now. Yeah.
So he has been in active addiction for over a year now. So like all the stuff that like we talked about seemed to happen, and it just is crazy to me, and like it's helped me like get more in tune spiritually than I was even before I met you.
I love that.
I'm so grateful, because like knowing about AC was like, I just felt like comfort that like, okay, like this is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Like he's supposed to be here.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's kind of when I was like, okay, like
it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I knew that my baby's birth dad wasn't in a stable place, because he just barely got out of rehab again.
Yeah.
When
you found out you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Right. I remember that now. That's right.
And he relapsed a couple times just in my first trimester. And so I knew that I was going to be alone.
Yeah.
Like obviously I had a ton of support.
Oh yeah.
Like an immense amount of support.
Yeah.
But I knew that like it was all on me.
Yeah.
And so I made the decision I was 13 weeks pregnant when I matched with my baby's family.
Oh.
And so they were with me the whole time.
Oh, so you made the decision to put your son up for adoption.
Yes.
And you chose the family.
Yes.
And her little boy's name is AC.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And I've seen a picture, and he is freaking adorable.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so cute.
I like to say that he's my little twin.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just, like, the mom naiveness of me, but I'm like, I took a lot of time.
Yeah.
A lot of time to get her. You have to look like me.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm sure that dad on the other side was like, all right, I'm going to make sure this little boy has some of my side, you know.
And actually, I don't know if you remember this, but you told my mom that she was going to be getting another grandbaby too, because you saw her right before me.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah,
like
that's
a
right
week before me.
Yeah.
And so,
but didn't she think it was someone else?
She thought,
right?
It was my brother.
Your brother. That's right.
And
that's right. Surprise.
Yes. And so I was like, oh, sorry. It's fine.
Yeah, it's good. It's all right. We got this.
But so, like, just a lot of stuff aligned so perfectly. And I guess, like, my big thing was that I had to do a lot of the research on adoption by myself, because it's not talked about.
Yeah.
Like, it really, like, I didn't really know anything about it. So I had to do a bunch of research.
Wow.
And thankfully I did, because, like, my doctor, when I told him that, like, this is what was the best thing for AC, that he set me up in counseling.
The doctor did.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I love that. I love that immediately you had the resources.
Yes. And
wow.
So he set me up in counseling, like, trying to, I don't know. I don't think that there was any bad will.
Yeah.
I think that he just knew that, like, I was in a hard place.
Yeah.
But,
well, for anybody, right? Anybody that makes that selfless decision of carrying a baby and then deciding to find an adopted, you know, family, and knowing that, you know, the whole time you're carrying this beautiful baby, you're like, all right, well, I don't want to get attached.
Yeah.
But yet you do.
Yeah.
And then knowing that when this cute little baby, this beautiful gift is here, you're like, well, I'm going to have to hand him off.
Yeah. You know? And oh, my gosh. And he is, like, the biggest blessing. Like,
oh, for
even
sure.
Though, like, he'll always be my son, but, like, I'm not his mother.
Yeah.
Like, I'm his birth mom.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful. Like, I get to watch him grow up.
I love that you have that open adoption I saw some pictures of the adopted family and your cute little boy and the pictures of you sitting with them and how this family includes you in their stuff, you know, in their family stuff, their pictures, their, you know, their celebrations, their, I mean, how beautiful to be a part of that. And,
oh my gosh.
And I saw the family, I saw the mom and the dad, and girl, you did good.
I know, they're so amazing. Just, oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm always a good judge of character by pictures. And I looked and I went, okay, Mama Steph is okay.
Yes. And the crazy thing, like, everyone says that me and his mom look like sisters.
You do.
And
you do.
His dad and my dad look like they could be blood related.
Really?
Blood related.
Okay, and but
they have the same, like, energy too, like, the same soul, like, so safe and comfortable. And oh my gosh.
That's why you were drawn to them.
I know, because I got told, like, when you go to pick your family, you'll know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
I was just like, that's ridiculous. Like, how can you know through a profile?
Yeah.
But the second I saw, like, their profile, it felt like I knew them.
Well, and do you feel that your dad was right there helping guide you?
Oh my gosh. And so when you told, you had a reading with my mom, she actually showed me the recording of it.
Yeah.
And she got this from another medium as well, that, like, they could see my dad holding a little boy's hand on the other side.
Oh.
And this is before AC.
Yeah.
Came.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we knew about him.
Yeah.
And I just know that he held his hand till the moment he got here.
Oh.
And he has like the best guardian angel protecting him.
Oh, yeah.
And
for sure.
I had a really traumatic birth. And so I had to get put under anesthesia for my C-section because it was an emergency C-section.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And because they lost his heartbeat during my labor. And right before they put me under, I was hysterical. Like, I was just like, get him here safely.
Oh, yeah.
So right before they put me under, I remember I could, like, feel, like, an overwhelming, like, not bad pressure, but pressure on my right side. And I just heard, I'm with you, baby girl.
Oh.
It's going to be okay. Like, that was, like, one of the first things I said when I came out of surgery. I was just, like, I heard my dad.
Yeah.
I heard him.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And, like, I was okay. Yeah. Everything was going to be okay.
Oh.
And so when AC's parents came in to meet him after he was born, like, this is how I know that, like, these people, like, I was met, like, something new that I was supposed to know these people.
Yeah.
I owe so much to them. They came in to meet AC. And they obviously checked on him. I was holding him.
Yeah.
But they came straight to me. Like, they've taken me in as if I'm their own.
Oh my gosh. So they really were, like, you know, knowing how, and empathetic with how the process was going to be, but really thinking about you first.
Yes.
And going, well, we love you so much and we're so grateful for you, but we also know that this isn't easy, but now let's focus on you first.
Yes. Because during the pregnancy, like, we did a baby shower, we did a gender reveal, like, together.
Oh my gosh.
And they met me at the hospital that morning, and now we get to celebrate, like, our families together. Like we say, I'll say, like, we all gained another family.
Oh yeah. And, for sure.
Like, I just spent this last weekend with them, this last Saturday with them, all day. And I got to see both sides of their families. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So
I love that.
Like, this situation, like, should have taken me down, but it didn't. Especially with, like, I am in recovery.
Yeah.
And I know that this would take a lot of people I know out. And I one, refuse to be a statistic.
Yeah.
And, like, I got told, one thing that really stuck with me that I learned in treatment was, if your dad was sitting right in front of you, how would he feel if you were using him as an excuse to go drink, to go get drunk?
Wow.
His death.
Oh.
And so now I have a baby that I have to think about too.
Right.
And like, I want to know him, and I want to know that, like, I didn't give him away because I wanted to go out and get drunk or get high or whatever. And I did this because I wanted him to have the best life.
Yeah.
And I want to be there.
Yeah. And I think that absolutely. And I think that I've shared my story too. And I think, you know, I'm 17 years recovering addict, and I know what it's like after, you know, every hour for an addict is work, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, once you're an addict, once you're an alcoholic, whatever it may be, whatever addiction it is, you're working at it every day. Every day it's a struggle. And, you know, when I decided to get off all of the medications I was on, once I was clean for the most part, after about 3 months, I couldn't believe how clear my mind was and how, like, it was incredible. But it was the moments of pain or sadness or stress that triggered me where I wanted to go and start, you know, taking meds. And so I can't imagine where you were at, being still coming out of recovery, fairly new, and then having such a huge decision, and traumatic even, you know, with what you went through, and not wanting to go back to your old ways.
Yeah, I fell in love with being sober. Like, I
love that.
I found a new sense of self, and I learned what self-love really meant.
Yeah.
And I took everything that I learned in treatment and didn't apply it just to not drinking, but I applied it to, like, life in general. Like, I have I probably gained 10 years of emotional intelligence just in 6 months.
Wow.
And I have so many giants that I have to thank, that I get to thank, that I get to see every day. And
I love that.
I put in the work and I did everything, but I wouldn't have been able to put in that work if I didn't have the support that I had.
Right.
And I had to borrow so much love until I found it for myself. Okay. And that's the biggest thing, is that I was able to lean on these people that gave me so much love and support when I could barely get out of bed.
Yeah. Unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Yes. Yeah. And because when I fell into addiction right after my dad passed away, it's just because drinking was all that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And my family and my friends, like, when we drink, when we celebrate, when we're sad, when we get home from work, when we're mourning, grieving, that's just what I knew. And I fell into it too deep, sadly. I am actually grateful for everything that I've been through, because I wouldn't be right here today.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I'm the same way. You know, I think that if I wouldn't have went through the struggles I did and had my one moment, I woke up one morning and was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow if I don't, you know, get my what together. Yeah. And I thought, I have two children. So just like you, you know, I had something more to live for. And I thought, well, all right, I can do this. And I actually detoxed myself by myself.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. And if anybody understands and knows what it's like to be in withdrawal and try to detox yourself, for one, I shouldn't have done it. I should have been in a center. I should have been under very close, you know, watch and care. But I was so stubborn and I was so embarrassed that I just wanted to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I, 3 months of hell, it was awful. I so sick. And I mean, there's so many things that you go through in withdrawal, right? And I've heard actually to go through withdrawal when you are an alcoholic is worse.
Yeah,
I've heard alcohol is a lot worse than, you know, pain meds and you know, anti-anxiety meds and, you know.
So alcohol and benzos can kill you from withdrawing and detoxing off of. So you have to be like in a hospital or a facility to come off of it. So I was somewhere like being medicated to get off of it because you don't. I've actually known people who have died from trying to detox and trying to get clean.
Yeah.
But like opiates and that kind of like those drug choices, those are the most painful.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that are gonna make you wish you were dead. Yeah. Sadly, like it's.
Yeah. Awful. It was. Well, that's sadly.
So like it's never gonna end.
Yeah. Oh no. It was hell. I'll just say it was hell. Yeah. But you know. I was grateful and I'm glad that I woke up one morning and had this epiphany because, I mean, I wouldn't be where I am now with sharing my gifts because I was numbing myself. And when you numb yourself, you numb your soul, right? Yeah. You numb your energy and you're so oblivious to your purpose in life.
Yes.
Right.
And you aren't capable of love in those times. Like you're not capable of like giving out or giving love. Yeah. And like the biggest, like, I think the biggest gift in life is to help other people.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's like the biggest message is to like have gratitude every single day and happiness and give back to people.
Yeah.
Because like if those people didn't help me, I wouldn't be here today.
Yep.
And so if I can help one person in my lifetime the way that I was helped, that's the goal.
Oh, I love that. And I echo that just because I know it, I always say it's like the butterfly effect or it's kind of like that ripple. Once you throw that pebble out into the, you know, into the lake or whatever, and it causes that ripple effect. Well, all you needed to do was throw that one pebble and then everybody else kind of feeds off of that. Yeah. Right. And that's one thing I know with coming out about my gifts, you know, 5 years ago is just the magnitude of energy that I feel has been spread into love. And you know, it started out with me just stepping out of my comfort zone and going, all right, I'm going to just do this. And for you, it was stepping out of your comfort zone and going, all right, I'm just going to make sure that I live for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, even your son is such a blessing.
Oh my God.
He saved you.
He did.
He saved you.
He did. Like, in ways like I can't even put into words. And he is just incredible. Like I've always heard about mother love, the motherly love.
Yeah.
I never understood the intensity of it.
Yeah.
And like I don't even get to see, I get pictures of him every day, but I'm not with him all day, every day. I'm not the one raising him and I would die for him.
Yeah.
And like the second that like I had him in my arms, I've never felt something like that in my whole life. And that week, those 5 days that I had with him in the hospital, I'll never take for granted.
Oh, yeah. I just that. Yeah.
Like the second that I woke up from surgery, I knew that I was on a clock with him being mine. And
yeah.
So I took in every second. I slept for maybe like 6 hours at the hospital.
I wouldn't either.
Like, yeah. And
I wouldn't either. I'd be like, I just want to be awake. Just every waking moment. Now for me, you know, of course that when I had mine and, my third, I had a C-section too. So I was in the hospital 5 days. I was like, please take her. I need sleep.
That's how I definitely probably would have been because I was like lethargic. Yeah. I like,
oh, of course.
And yeah. I was they gave me so much medication before I went under surgery because they didn't want to put me out if they didn't have to, that I didn't remember like the first 3 days. Wow. And I don't know if it was from shock or that.
Maybe both.
Yeah. And it was a traumatic week. I'm so blessed that I got to experience it, but it was traumatic. It was a lot.
So do you feel, my mind just went to kind of this, do you feel that, I believe in karma, good and bad, mm-hmm. and I never ever wish bad karma, nor do I tell people never wish bad karma on anyone, because it'll come back and bite in the butt later. But do you kind of feel like that your delivery and how things went was kind of your karma, good and bad?
Oh, I've never thought about that.
I put her on the spot. She wasn't my phone.
Well,
I wasn't even thinking about it till now.
Honestly, yes. Like, I do think that, like, good karma, because I needed that extra time with him, because I only had the time I was in the hospital with him.
Yeah.
And I do think that it was also bad karma, because I was talking to his mom a few weeks before, and I said, well, what if I had a C-section?
So you kind of manifested it.
I put it out into the universe, but I was just like, I hope that nothing happens with him.
Yes,
Like, I need him to be okay.
For sure.
But what if I had a C-section so that I could have more time with him? And so I think that that was
kind of both, right?
Yes, like, I think that it was like a mix of both. I was kind of just like, hey, watch what you say.
Well, I tell people that all the time. I always say, you know, this is where I tell people, just whatever you put out in the universe, whatever you say, think, feel, and do, it's energy, and it'll come right back. And, and karma is no joke.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
You know, I know we've got about probably less than 2 minutes, but I love this, where I feel like we could be on for an hour. But one thing that I wanted to ask you too, and maybe for others who are out there really struggling with addiction, and regardless of, you know, being pregnant or having a child, I mean, but anything with addiction, what would you say is the number one piece of advice that you would give those who are struggling with addiction and that are thinking about going to recovery?
I would say that your value is always 100%. And like, if you think that a newborn baby has the value of 100%, I promise you, you do too. Like, that baby hasn't done anything. That baby hasn't. It's almost like stepping on a dollar bill. Like, the value doesn't change. Yeah. Like, even though you've been through hard things and that you're going through something hard, like, your worth is 100% always. Yeah. Like, you've had so many accomplishments, but like, don't doubt yourself. And it's okay to borrow love while you're finding it for yourself. And I promise you, you can do it.
I love it. Beautiful. Perfect. Perfect way. And what a perfect ending for everybody. So I just thank you so much, Raquel. Thank you for coming.
It was so great.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome.
So grateful to be here.
I'm so grateful that you're here. And thank you guys for listening again. And we will see you next week. And we'll be, it'll be Christmas Eve.
Oh my God.
That'll be a fun night, fun podcast. All right, guys. Much love. Bye.